In the military, combat experience helps you climb the career ladder, and the lack of it can set you back. As the United States enters what is believed to be an era of peace, what does that mean for young cadets' job prospects? Will they be relegated to second-tier jobs behind those who have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, some repeatedly? For more, we turn to retired Army Lieutenant General Dave Barno. He's a senior fellow and co-director of the Responsible Defense Program at the Center for New American Security. Dave, good morning.
Morning, Emily.
So, Dave, by way of background here, explain the role combat service plays in the promotion system in the military.
Well, combat service is in some ways the epitome of what any officer aspires to do during a career in the military. You know, 30, 40 years ago, there were officers that could have served an entire career and never served in combat, and that's not the case today. We've seen the entire military, especially the ground forces, the Army and the Marines, deeply involved in combat operations since really 9/11 over the last 13 years. So almost all of the officer corps today is combat experience, many with multiple tours overseas in those two theaters.
And how exactly does it work when it's time for promotions? We've heard about this as one of the main reasons why women have fought so hard to be able to hold combat jobs. And now we're seeing that cadets rising up through school might have to deal with the prospects of not having combat positions.
Well, I think that's perhaps more of a concern for them as they look at all of the graduates of West Point or Annapolis that have gone in front of them over recent years and have then deployed and served in combat. But realistically, those that are graduating this year in 2014, for the rest of their career, they're going to compete for promotion, not with those people that are a lot more senior to them, but for the most part, compete with those that are in their class. So if the majority of their counterparts in the class of 2014 don't deploy to combat, then those are the people they'll compete with for their promotions for certainly the next many years after their future. So maybe a little overwrought. I think it's more of an emotional concern that this is what being in the military, being in the Army, has been defined as for the last, 12 and a half years. To have it all of a sudden go away, to have the Super Bowl disappear and have your future look only like scrimmages, back on the practice field, that feels a lot different, and it's not why many of these people came in the military.
Sure, I understand. But how exactly, is there a formal process for considering combat and say the length of time you served and what you did when you're considered for promotions?
There is. There are very carefully regulated promotion boards. There's a lot of law and statute and policy that make those into what many look at as squeaky clean process. I used to work in that as a young officer in that particular arena. And that'll continue to be the case, but again, you're normally judged in comparison with your immediate peers. So if an officer graduated from West Point 4 or 5 years ahead of you, did two tours in Afghanistan, the people you're going to be graded against are the people that you graduated with this year or next year, certainly for the next decade or more. So it's less of a concern, I think, than a lot of the cadets at West Point are worried about right now.
And for cadets, is the overall planned troop reduction, does that come into play at all, or are their jobs pretty much safe because they've entered the military at a certain point?
Yeah, I think that's actually a bigger concern in many ways. As the Army in particular gets smaller now coming out of these wars, the Army reached a peak of over 570,000 troops here a few years back when Iraq and Afghanistan were both going full bore. The Army's coming down to 490,000, on its way to perhaps 440 or 450,000. So a large departure of significant numbers of troops and leaders in the Army. And that could affect the opportunities for these cadets soon to be lieutenants as they graduate. There are going to be fewer positions out there, and the Army will be getting smaller, and there won't be as much excitement and as much opportunity to get overseas and do things that most officers come into the military to actually experience.
Is this something that is just cyclical, that we've seen before after past wars have drawn down and we've entered the peacetime process for a while?
It absolutely is. I came in the Army a few years after Vietnam, and the same concerns were out there about not having combat experience. Most of the soldiers in my, certainly the sergeants in my first platoon were all combat veterans, but the privates were not. And I think that's what these young lieutenants will find out there. They may not have any combat experience, but none of their young soldiers will either, because we put 60, 70, 80,000 brand new privates out there across the Army every single year, and that'll continue. So I don't think it's as big a concern as they might worry about when they're walking the halls of West Point today.
But how, if you don't mind me asking, how did you switch from that mindset? You might have entered or signed up thinking that you would be entering combat in Vietnam, and yet it quickly appeared that that would not be the case. Was there something that you had to do to make an adjustment saying this is going to be my career going forward?
I could certainly see the end of the Vietnam War coming when I was a cadet at West Point, and it did happen while I was up there at the academy. But I think what I found, and I know what these young officers will find, is that it's really all about leadership. It's not just about serving in combat. It's about leading great young men and women out there in uniform, whether you're on a deployment to South Korea for a training exercise, you know, whether you're, you know, on some type of an operational deployment working with friends and allies in Europe or in Africa. It's about leading your soldiers out there in whatever the demanding task is. And I think whether that involves bullets flying or it involves training other militaries, or involves just being out at the rifle range, helping young soldiers learn how to shoot their weapons and work as a team. That's what being a leader in the military is about. And that's what will get these young lieutenants switched on when they go out there to troop units.
The New York Times recently wrote about this, and they visited West Point, and they described cadets with angst, and I think some of their professors feeling the same way, but also citing the growth of special ops as a desirable unit to be with, including among those who had never really considered it before. What will that do? Will that change the dynamic as people seek to go into special ops because that's one that is guaranteed to see some sort of combat wherever it might be?
Well, special operations in a way is one reflection of what's different this time after this war than was the case after Vietnam. In some ways, the United States is still going to remain at war as we have come out of Iraq and as we perhaps come fully out of Afghanistan or leave a small presence behind. Our special operators out there in the Army, that's Army Special Forces or Green Berets, it's Army Rangers, it's a special operations, aviation, helicopter pilots. Those folks are still going to be out there in the fight. They're deployed in many, many different countries around the world. Some of them in combat tasks, some of them in training and support tasks, working with other nations' military. So it's going to be still a very exciting, very demanding part of the military to be in. And I think that'll be hugely attractive to some of these, soon-to-be young lieutenants coming out of West Point. They're going to gravitate into that field. They're looking for more adventure and more interesting things to do out there where the rubber meets the road.
Will there be a loss in other divisions?
Well, I think there's always a trade-off. The special operators recruit out of the conventional military, and they find that experience that their young leaders bring in from the rest of the Army or the Marine Corps or the Navy to be very valuable. So, but I think it's going to be a buyer's market for special operations. They're going to have lots and lots of people knocking at the door trying to come in, so they're going to get to be even more selective than they've been in the past if that's their interest going ahead.
And looking down the road, how is the situation going to affect recruitment or perhaps people who are considering becoming cadets and starting their education now?
Well, I watched this challenge in the 1990s when the military last drew down after the end of the Cold War. And what happened is the public perception became the military is not hiring anymore. It's getting smaller. It's closing down. And so it started to dry up recruiting both for officers and also for young soldiers coming in. So the military had to work very hard to say, no, we still are bringing in tens of thousands of new people every single year to be lieutenants or to be privates and ultimately sergeants. We have to make sure the public knows that because no matter how small the military gets, it's cyclical in the sense that it rotates people in and out of uniform in the tens or hundreds of thousands every year. So there'll be still a tremendous market to bring in young officers to continue to fill those roles at West Point. They're just going to have to keep the word out there on the street that everyone knows that's still the case.
We're speaking with Dave Barno. He's a senior fellow and co-director of the Responsible Defense Program at Center for New American Security. From the flip side, we've been talking about this maybe as cadets are, you know, about to graduate next month and as others start their education. But in terms of the military, what can it do to ensure consistency in high caliber candidates as it enters this peacetime path? And I'm remembering back 10 years ago or a bit longer now when there was such a rush for service members because of what was happening in Iraq and Afghanistan, that there were those with, say, criminal convictions, et cetera, and those were overlooked and there were less desirable candidates that were able to enter the military. So what can the services do now to ensure that they have this good quality stream of candidates no matter what the conditions elsewhere?
That's a great question, and they're certainly going to have to tighten up their discipline and accountability standards, both in uniform and in across the board for those that they bring in. And as the military gets smaller, it offers them a great opportunity to make sure they're getting exactly the right people. They don't have any need to take folks that weren't quite up to the bar, which might have been the case, you know, 5 or 10 years ago at the height of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. They can be very selective. On the other side of the coin, they've got to keep recruiting. They've got to continue to get the word out there that this is a great place to serve. There are lots of opportunities for young officers and young sergeants to lead great young men and women out there. In fact, in the military, one of the selling points has always been that you can be a 22-year-old and be in charge of 40 people in your very first job and have incredible responsibilities to get them from place to place to do very difficult and demanding things. And that, again, goes back to this leadership challenge that the military delivers, an experience that you just can't get in the private sector. So I think the key is to get the word out, to keep the standards high, to make sure people know it's going to be a great, demanding, and exciting place to serve, and they'll continue to attract, you know, some of the best and brightest from the United States.
Retired Army Lieutenant General Dave Barno is a senior fellow and co-director of the Responsible Defense Program at the Center for New American Security. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Emily. Enjoyed it.